Amen. We've been enjoying Bible study with them. I'm telling you, amen, they're getting a hold of something. We're excited for them. Amen. Praise God. And we're so glad to have somebody new to our church. Sister Benton is officially ours. Praise God. Well, you was ours all along, Mammy. Amen. But we're so glad tonight. Amen. For this. Amen. We're thankful for the blessings of the Lord, everybody that's here. Amen. I feel Jesus most of all, and I'm so thankful for that all day long. I have felt the peace and the glory of the Lord. Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2 is where I want to read tonight. And there is a pool and a draw in the spirit realm today that God wants you to be part of. God's really interested in your life, in you, your soul, your being, your whole concept, the way you live, the way you think, the way your design is. Amen. God is so interested in you. Amen. He wants your heart and he wants you. Psalm 19, verse 1. Amen. The scripture here says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the skies, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, every day, uttereth speech. God is saying something through creation. Night unto night, showeth knowledge. Verse 3, there's no speech nor language. There's no language, no culture, where the voice of creation is not heard. In other words, amen, the heavens declare the glory. Creation begins to reflect and declare the voice of God some way. How many has ever looked at something and you said, that's the work of God? Amen. I've looked at pictures that were painted and I recognize immediately who the famous painter was. Norman Rockwell is one of my favorites. And I look at it and I recognize that's Norman Rockwell. And it still amazes me. I stand there and look at it. But when I look at what God has done, amen, oh, I got to stop and say, that's my God at work. Are you thankful that God is still at work tonight? Hallelujah. Would you put your Bible down with me tonight? And I want you, amen, to lift your hands to the Lord Jesus in this place. Amen. Come on, lift your hands to the Master tonight. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you tonight for your power, your goodness, and your mercy. I love you, and I want to give you my attention tonight, God. And I thank you for your divine presence. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're beautiful and holy, worthy to be praised. We thank you today, God, for everything. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, we're without excuse tonight. Amen. We're without any kind of excuse, amen, to not live for God, because we got a God that lives for us. If God lives for us, the least we could do is turn our attention and live for him. Amen. And if you're not living for Jesus, you're just dying. Amen. And if you're just existing, your life is dying. You're on the die. You're on the down. But oh, how beautiful it is to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And years ago, Russians began to send people out of space, and they would orbit the earth. And anybody knows what a Russian astronaut was called back in those days? Say it again.
A cosmonaut.
Now, Coley probably never heard that word, cosmonaut. I know Katie Purtle never heard it. He made cosmonaut. Abigail's probably never heard of cosmonaut. That's a Russian astronaut back in Brother Corbett's days. And they orbit the earth. And it was something new that were orbiting the earth. And this cosmonaut, his name was Yuri Gagarin. He's reported to saying, I have looked and I have looked and I have looked and I have looked from outer space. And I did not see God. And for many, that was the ultimate proof, because this cosmonaut said, If God was thought to live in the heaven and a science like this cosmonaut didn't see him, he must not exist. But the Bible says that God, at various times in various ways, Hebrews 11, God who at sundry times in many diverse manners, different manners, has spoke by the prophets, and God has revealed himself many different ways. In many revelations, he has set forth his truth and presented it. I want to tell you today, amen, I'm thankful that the creator of the worlds, amen, oh, that we see, the world that we know, but the worlds that are unknown to us, the outer space and the depths of the ocean. When somebody goes to the deepest part of the ocean and they find something there that man has never discovered, I'm glad that God knows it already, knows where it's at. Even the furthest being, star or planet or anything out there in space, when somebody finds it, they're amazed. Hey, look, I'm glad that the creator, amen, already knows. The Bible, he says he sets those things there. Amen. He puts them and arranges them. And Galileo's time, they thought there was just over 1,000 to 2,000 stars until Galileo began to invent the telescope and realize there's an enormous number of stars out there. Are you thankful tonight we have that kind of God that we could call our God? Amen. Sis Crossway and I have been listening to a story about the Egyptians back in Egypt's day, and when the children of Israel were getting out of Egypt, how these people prayed to these different idol gods. It was Ra, this god, and that god, and that god. And in the Grecian time, amen, Roman mythology, Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology, all begin to have some kind of god that represented some kind of power, whether it's the sun or the moon or the god of rain, the god of frogs, you name it. But I'm glad today that I don't serve a god that just is a god of the sun, but he's a god of all creation. Think with me. Amen. He's a god of all creation. And the fact that God didn't reveal himself to a Russian cosmonaut in space means nothing. Amen. Because Jesus, amen, walked the face of the earth. Amen. And he said, amen, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Oh, he said, hey, and there's some things that's always been set and arranged there to prove, amen, that God, that invisible God is still God. You may can't see him, but tonight he's still on the throne. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that my God still has power? God is still at work, and God is still wanting to prove himself in this hour to humanity. Amen. Many people don't fail to believe in Jesus Christ because they've never seen him. And I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, amen, there's a power in the invisible. Amen. But he begins to prove himself through his word, through his spirit. And I pray this tonight, Lord, open our eyes that we can know your power. We can know your touch, that we can know. Open our ears that we could be those that know him. You know, God has not isolated himself. Girls, are y'all paying attention? Y'all disturbing people all around you tonight. Amen. God has not isolated himself. That he has put himself somewhere that he don't want you to know who he is. I mean, there's some people that secretly go places and they hide themselves in isolation because maybe they're a dignitary, a millionaire, a billionaire, or an inventor, or a pop singer, a rock singer, country western singer, a movie star, and they don't want you to know where they're living or have any association with them because their privacy is something cherished to them. I want to thank the Lord tonight that my God is not so isolated that, amen, he is saying, no, you can't know me, but I'm praising the God that I can know tonight, a God that touches me, a God that helps me, a God that still speaks to me in this hour. Amen. God don't want you to be isolated. Let me ask a question to us tonight. We all believe that there's a mighty God, a powerful God, and we believe in the glory of the Holy Ghost. But this is where I want to get to us tonight. Amen. You know, are you satisfied with God just being at the front door of your life? There's some people just satisfied with God being at the front door of their heart, and that's it. They come and they love for God to knock at the door of their heart. They love it when God compliments them with a knock. Are you gratified with a knock? I'm thankful for a knock, aren't you? Are you thankful that God knocks on the heart, that God does speak to us, that God does get our attention, that God has good, amen, intention to let us know that he is there? How many has ever had the Lord begin to speak to you or knock on your heart? And you knew it was God, that God was trying to do get your attention. Are you thankful that God still is trying to get our attention in this hour? But I don't want to ever be satisfied with God just being at the front door. I don't want to be gratified with him just knocking on my heart. Amen. But I want to be conscious that God doesn't want to stand outside of your life. He desires to be inside your life. Somebody say, Lord, come on in. Amen. Oh, friend, when somebody's knocking on your door and you know they got great things for you. Amen. Now, the pizza man that comes and knocks at somebody's door to deliver a pizza, oh, we want what he has, but we don't want him in our house. Right? We don't want him in our house. Amen. We want what he has. And a lot of people treat God the same way. They want what God has. Feed me, bless me, give me, but you stay out. You're just a delivery man. I want to talk to us tonight. God is more than your delivery man. God is more than your pizza deliverer. God is a God that wants to come in and bless you. God has good things for you. But tonight, God wants to step in. Will you let God in the living room of your life? Get him off your doorstep. Get him off the outside. Amen. If he loves you enough to knock on your door, he's a God that wants to in your house, in your life, in your living room. And oh, friend, let me just say this. Amen. When the Lord comes in, sometimes God wants to rearrange some things. God's going to have to rearrange some furniture. You're going to have to rearrange it, not him, to accommodate God. Sometimes our attention is on other things. Our appetite is for this and that. You know, God cannot enjoy fellowshipping with somebody who is constantly entertaining other things that oppose God. Amen. Light and darkness don't mix, the Bible says. And so when you have God in your life, God is going to have to, amen, have some rearrangements. Amen. Some priorities change when God steps aboard your life. Amen. Hey, friend, God didn't just walk the gangplank to get in your heart. Amen. God is not going to do that, but God will come with a welcome. My question tonight to you as a child of God, are you welcoming God to have his way in your life? We want what God has. Again, I'm going to go back to that pizza delivery man. Oh, we'll take those wings too. We'll take that pizza, yes. But, oh, we don't want you in our life because, God, if you come in my life, Lord, you're going to have, there's going to be some changes. Folks, I want more than a change. I want a transformation in my life. I want God to change me on the inside, but I want a transformation. I don't want the old me, even always, to be the me. I want to be a new creature in Christ. Amen. I want some things to pass away. Don't you want some evil to pass away in your life? We all have habits, don't we? And some of them are not too pleasant. And some of them have to go when God steps in. Yeah. Amen. And I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost that God begins to help us. Amen. You see, God is not on the outside. Amen. But God wants to live on the inside of your life. God don't want to be a weekend lover. God wants to be your king, your God, every day of your life. Amen. And I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. Now, when God comes in, you think about this. There's some things that has to change. Amen. Your attention, the things that normally get your attention, your priorities have to be changed. Amen. Used to you run and change. What about the things of God? Brother Martin was so excited the other day because Brother Martin went somewhere and somebody, he got an opportunity to witness. And he come to church. I mean, he was pumped up and excited because he was able to talk to some. He didn't have to go and tell them, you need to come to church. No. He just talked about Jesus and how beautiful it is. I don't have to fuss and argue and debate somebody. Amen. Oh, only thing I have to do is turn the light on and point to Jesus Christ. Amen. They should see Jesus in your life if Jesus lives in your life. I shouldn't have to convince them one way or another. Amen. My life and the light that I'm living in should convince them. Amen. But we're in an hour where, folks, we're living in a sick and dark world. Amen. That needs Jesus. We know that out there is a sick and dark world. But many times in us is a sick and dark world. Because we want Jesus just to be at the door knocking. We love it when God knocks. We love it when the Lord has a delivery for us. We love it when God has provisions and gifts and goodness. But when God has a change, a lot of times we feel that he's invading us. I don't want to ever feel that God's invading me. God doesn't come to invade. He comes to transform, like Sister Kristen testified about Sunday night. I want God to change my darkness into light. Amen. When the Lord, as the Creator said, let there be. Amen. Oh, friend, that day with the power of the Word of God, creation became. Amen. Oh, friend, if any man be in Christ, you will become a new creature, a brand new person. How many needs that to happen, continue to happen? Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. If you're sick and tired of being a spectator, have you ever watch the Lord touch other people and you thought, man, I wish he would touch me. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be part of it. How about you? I want God to have access to every room of my life. I want him living. I want my life to be his home. Instead of saying, but this is my house. Oh, instead of saying, But that's my recliner. Have you ever had somebody at your house and they got your chair? Well, amen, that's okay. I have a recliner and its twin is in my office. And the other day I had a 19-year-old that showed up in the morning and he's my boy, our son. And immediately he plopped down in my recliner. And if you know Isaac could fall asleep like boom. And he stayed the rest of the day in my recliner. I didn't get a chance to sit in my recliner. But you know what? It was okay because I was so glad Isaac was at my house. I was so glad that this boy chose to come and he felt comfortable enough to come home and get in daddy's recliner. Amen. I want to tell somebody, I want to be comfortable enough to let God be God. Hey, Lord, take over. Lord, take over the wheel. Hey, Lord, take over the different controls of my life. Hey, God will do a better job with you than what you've been doing any day. But you've got to let the Lord on in. Amen. You've got to let God have its way in your soul, in your life. Amen. And so tonight, he stands at the door and knocks. Revelation 3:20 says, if any man hear my voice, open the door. Somebody say, open the door. The Lord said, I will come in and will sit with him and he with me. God wants fellowship with you. And tonight, I want to just talk about this. What the Lord spoke to me this morning and how beautiful God proves himself to me and confirms his word. Amen. This morning, early in prayer or early in the day, in prayer, the Lord begins to speak to me and I kept praying, and when I got to the church today, amen, again, the Lord proved, and he began to confirm some things. This is what I want to talk to you. Being conscious of God. Being conscious of God. You know, I want to just reverse this just a little bit by saying, or just talk a little bit differently. I want to be God conscious, not devil conscious. Now, there's some people, it's so easy to become so devil conscious that they see a devil behind every corner. They see him everywhere. It's a devil here and a devil. Hey, if you're devil conscious, that's all you're going to see is the devil. But I want to tell you, amen, you're going to be scared all the time. Because if that's all you're looking at is just for the devil, you'll find them. If you're looking for evil, you're going to look for flaws. You're going to look for problems in people's life. Amen. You're going to find flaws in people's life. But I didn't come to look for the devil. I come to look and be God conscious. Number one, I want to just repeat what Brother Colton said Sunday morning. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil's not everywhere. He's just one being. And I want to just prove to you something. Do you know that in Revelation, the 20th chapter, when it talks about Satan being bound, it took an angel to bind Satan and with chains. And an angel, you thought the devil had all power. He can't break those chains. It took an angel with chains to bind the devil and an angel to cast him into a bottomless pit. Let me just show you how much the devil is not. Instead of being devil conscience, I want to be God conscience. Hallelujah. I want to be conscious of the presence of the Lord and how beautiful it is when, amen, the Lord, amen, is here, but we're conscious of God. We're conscious of God by the way we think, the way we live, the way we pray. Amen. Hey, are you praying? When you pray, do you pray to God way out there, or do you pray to a God that is present? The scripture said he's a present help in the time of need. Amen. When I was in first and second and third grade, the teacher used to call the roll, and when it got to your name, when she said Brent, she would say, we wanted you to say present. And we had a little clown in our class that always used to say, President. I want to say tonight, God is present and he's the president of my life. Are you thankful that God is the CEO, president, the king of your life? Amen. Oh, he's Lord of everything. Hallelujah. I want him not to have second chair. Amen. I want God to have first in my soul. Amen. I want him to be Lord of everything. Hallelujah. Because, amen, I'm not good enough and I'm not big enough and I'm not bad enough and I don't have power enough to live for God without God. Yeah, I got to have God. Amen. And I love it when the Lord has his way in my life. And let me say this. If you're not under God's authority, you'll never be over the devil. You got to be under God's authority. 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you thankful tonight that God has, amen, a power put inside of your life? The Holy Ghost is more than just tongue talking. Amen. The Holy Ghost is more than jitterbugs. Amen. A little doodads running all over you and that little electric feeling that you feel. The Holy Ghost is God coming in, a power coming in your life that you could be victorious. Woo. Amen. But I want to be conscious of God when I pray. I want to be conscious of that almighty, powerful God. Let me just insert this. Jesus Christ has won the big battle for us at Calvary and the grave. Jesus did not defeat Satan just for himself, but he defeated him for you, that you could live victorious. You were blood bought and blood washed. And let me say this. Don't let little needless battles defeat you. There's some little battles that get the best of us. There's some things that you just don't entertain. Amen. It's not worth it. You know, we have a statement that I've learned. I picked it up from Brother E.O. Holly. He said, a bulldog can whip a skunk, but it ain't worth the stink. There's some things not worth fighting. And friend, a skunk is not worth fighting. And there's some things, some little battles that God did not call you to engage in. David went to a little battle, and there was a little bitty thing for God called a giant. But David didn't try to tackle him. He just gave the battle to God. He had, I want to tell you, David did better by giving the battle to God than if David would have tried. Are you thankful that God still has victory? There's still power in the Holy Ghost for you when you let God be God. Amen. And let me just say this. Amen. I want to be God conscious. I want to be sensitive to the presence of the Lord. When I come to church, I want to be sensitive. Tonight, where is God in your life? Amen. There's some of you are lost as could be tonight in your imagination. And every time you come to church, why does things start running rapid? Amen. You come tonight out of good intention. You brushed your teeth, I hope, and you got dressed to come to the house of God. Amen. And why is it when you come to the house of God, all of a sudden, trains started running through your brain, jets start pouring through. You know, how many has that battle sometime? Amen. You know what? We need to be God conscious tonight. God, what are you trying to get to me? What are you trying to teach me tonight? What are you trying to say to me tonight? Lord, I don't want something to take over my mind. I don't want to be easily swept in my brain, even that I miss what the Holy Ghost is trying to say. I want the glory of God to have the greater emphasis. Amen. Some have a small little window for God to work in. They give God just this little bit of time. And God said, hey, is that all you're going to give me? Just a little bit of you? Amen. The only time God gets a little attention is when somebody has something going wrong, have a problem, exactly. All of us said, oh, God, oh, church, who? You know, here's a person that never prays and never come early to pray before church and never fast. They never read their Bible, but when trouble happens, pastor, church on a 14-day fast. No water, no bread, no nothing. Boy, isn't that crazy? I had that happen. I said, oh, church, Brother Crosswell, we need a fast and we need to pray. Oh. And about 5 years ago, somebody came to me like that. They were, so concerned. It's crazy. Amen. I want God to have more than just that little window of my life. Just that little crack in the door. Oh, it's you again, God. Or, I need God, please, Brother Crosswell. I need you to pray. I need you to get a hold of God for me. Thank God for a pastor. Thank God for a church. But friend, if we're not God conscious, we're going to miss out so much. Man, I want God to be God. How about you? I want God to love. I want the love of God to work in me, but I just don't want the love of God. Somebody wants the love of, they want God to perfume him. And it's kind of like this. My daddy used to say this, and daddy said, some people, they don't ever take a shower or bath. They'll take an instant bath. Back in those days, they used to have Right Guard and a spray, you know? And he said this, it smelled like the Right Guard took a left turn. And when I went to school, they used to say this, and I'll never forget this little girl. She used to say, and you had to realize a little Louisiana, she said, y'all smell like get back. I don't want to ever have that in my life where I just come to church and think, I just spray a little bit on me and I'm okay. No. I want the Lord to cleanse me. I want to be conscious of me. God, if I stink. You ever seen somebody who was not conscious of their spirit and their ways? And I'm conscious even as a pastor sometimes. I got things up here to help me when I pray for somebody. If I've eaten chicken and dumplings today, I don't want when I pray for you that you smell chicken and dumplings and a yellow onion. Neither do I want God to smell something unpleasant when I come to him. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, wash me. Purge me. Neither do I want somebody, whenever they see me, they go, his spirit stinks. His attitude stinks. He smells like get back. His right guard took a left turn. No. I don't want an instant bath tonight. I want God to scrub me on the inside. I want God to cleanse me. I want God to cleanse my thinking, my ways, my walk, my talk, my manners. Are you God conscious in your manners? Your manners, your respect for the things of God. You know, I was in the courtroom just recently, And this little girl came up, and she had green bubble gum in her mouth, or green gum in her mouth. I don't know if they call it bubble gum. And she come up to the front where the judge was at. And the judge says, he said, he turned around to the bailiff. He said, I need a Kleenex. He said, this girl needs a Kleenex. And she's looking at like, do I got something dripping on my nose or something? And they handed it to her, and he said, spit your gum out. He said, this is a sacred place called the court. He said, at my church, we don't chew gum. And this judge attends First Baptist. And he said, we don't chew gum. And he said, in sacred places, you respect. I want to be conscious of my habits. That when I come to God's house, that I reverence and respect him and respect my brothers and sisters and respect each other. But most of all, I want to be God conscious in what I do in the house of God. Amen. And I don't want it just to be my religion, just a religion. I want a relationship. Amen. That is not just something that lasts just while I have my church clothes on. I want a relationship with God when I'm at home. Even when I'm working in the yard and I'm sweating all the way down to my socks, I still want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be conscious of God in everything I do. Everybody say amen. Amen. I want to tell you, the presence and the glory of God is greater than what we make it. Some people have a small view of God, that he's just a Sunday morning king or Sunday night king. And I'm glad tonight you've chose to be on a Tuesday night. God's more than a Tuesday night king. Aren't you thankful he's a king of kings? I want to be conscious of when I pray, when I praise, when I love God, when I worship, when I read his book. Amen. Even though I may not understand what's going on, I'm still conscious. This is your word, God. And there's times I go back and I have to read it again. And when I do, many times the Lord helps me and he speaks to me. I want to just talk to us tonight. We have such a great God who knows down to the minutes. In 1 Kings chapter 22, there was a king called Ahab. He was wicked. And Ahab was married to a wicked, wicked, wicked woman. Huh? Yeah, Ahab's wife. Brother Corbin can't say it because he just said it, but I need one of these kids. Who was King Ahab's wife? Say it loud. Jezebel. I mean, she was wicked. I mean, a wicked woman. And he was a wicked man because he let her be a wicked woman. And I mean, they were hard. But there came a time that the man of God came and said, Ahab, you're going to the dogs. Jezebel, you're going to the dogs. And the prophet said, the dogs are going to lick your blood. And Jezebel, the dogs are going to go out, and you're going to be inside the dog's tummy. And when the dog goes to the bathroom, you're going to be part of that bathroom, that stuff on the ground. Because the dogs are going to eat you. You're going to the dogs. Ahab thought, I'm the king. And Jezebel said, but I'm the queen. But they weren't conscious of that almighty God. The Bible says Ahab went to war. And he suited up with the finest armor. I mean, he was all armored up to the finest state of the art armor. He had it all there, and he felt secure. There's no way. No way possible. Look at all my soldiers around me. Plus, I got armor from the top of my head all the way down. But you know what the Bible says? There was a man who shot an arrow just randomly. Just shot an arrow. And you know what God did with that arrow? That arrow flew and it found an open spot in the armor of Ahab. And it hit him, and guess what happened? He died in his chariot. When they put him in a chariot, his blood filled the bottom of that chariot. That when they started washing that chariot, the dogs came and licked up his blood. I'm going to tell you, God knows what he, I want to be conscious of that kind of God. God can destroy. God can be precise. And guess what happened to Jezebel. I always change it up, call it Bezijel. Jezebel, there came a time whenever she was there looking out the walls of her palace, where the windows of, and the man of God says, if you're on my side, won't you throw her down? You know what the servants did? They picked up that wicked king and they threw her down. And when she hit the ground, guess what happened? The horses and all the different traffic ran over Jezebel and cut her up in pieces. And guess who came? The dogs came and ate up her little bitty minced up pieces of meat and flesh. And just like the prophet of God said, even the dogs, they went to the field and she became part of the litter that was out there. I want to tell somebody, God's on time tonight. Amen. God, I want to be conscious. Amen. God is not random, but he's precise. Amen. God works with purpose, not with random. The Bible says in Acts the 15th chapter, verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Nothing God does is reactionary or accidentally. God, amen, oh friend, he's intentional. He knows what's going on. God ordains and orders events precisely. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hey, God's in control. I want to be conscious of God. Do you know this? God has knowledge. His knowledge is exact, and God is a good accountant. He's very much detailed. Matthew 10 and verse 30, the Bible says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You don't have to work too hard to number mine, huh? But Gloriana, every hair that you have is not just counted. He didn't say they were counted. They're numbered. They're numbered. That means, Coley, if number three falls out, God knows it. Well, number three, 23, 73, all mine, when it started falling, God knew about it. He still knows about it. The hair of your head are numbered. The next thing, God works according to a defined plan. Ephesians 1:11 says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Again, God is not random. He's precise. Nothing in the kingdom of God is accidental. Amen. His timing is precise. His purpose is precise. His corrections are precise. Amen. What looks random to us is the exact hand of God arranging something we can't see. Come on, God don't operate by chance. He operates by purpose and design. Nothing about God is accidental. Amen. God is never random. Hey, hear me tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that I have that kind of God. I want to be conscious of that God. I want to be conscious of God at my home. I want to be conscious of God when I get behind the wheel of my car. When somebody makes me mad when I'm driving, I want to be conscious of God. When things don't go my way, I want to be conscious of God. When I'm in a place of business, I want to be conscious of God. You ever seen somebody who their whole demeanor is everybody's after them? Sister C and I went to eat today. He was at a little country restaurant. And there was a man that came to the front. And there were some people waiting on, they were standing waiting to be brought to their table. And Sister C, I don't know if you've seen this little man. But the man was standing there. And he looked at the gentleman that was standing because there was no place to sit. And he was just standing there. He wasn't in the way. And this little elderly gentleman looked at that young man and said, are you in line or what? The young man had good, polite spirit. He said, no, sir. We're waiting to be brought to our table. Then this little man walks up to the counter, and he starts fussing at the lady. And this is what he said. He said, y'all served those black people before you served me. And he started fussing at the lady that takes the money. And he said, y'all fed them. He said, I got here way before they did. And the lady said, no. They ordered appetizers and you didn't. You always get your appetizers first. And I mean, he just kept on and kept on and kept on. And then when he got ready to leave, there was a man holding the door open for him. And he was a colored man. And this gentleman just was, I mean, he would not let that man open the door for him. And he just stood there. The guy said, you can go ahead. I'm not going. How rude some people are. But I want to tell you who is really rude. People that are not God conscious. And the worst people in the world is people that's supposed to be gods that don't act like gods. When people know that you live a different way, that you, and when you go to places, amen, when you go there and you, your light's not, when your light's out, you're a horrible person. I want to tell you, be God conscious. I want my light to shine. How about you? I don't want to be a darkened individual, amen, oh friend, that proclaims, I'm wired up. I got power in the hole. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you say you receive the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. If you are not letting God be God in your life, you're fooling nobody but yourself. I gotta be God conscious. I gotta let the King have his way in my life. Don't you dare touch my recliner, God. Don't you dare sit right there. Don't you change the furniture of my mind. No. I enjoy this. I enjoy. Does God have room in your life to rearrange some things in you? Can God change the way you conduct yourself at church? If you're distracted by people in church and they distract you, move away from them. Amen. If people causes you to, I mean, get away from them. Find another spot. Or if they're bold enough to come to you right in the middle of service and start yakking in your ear, say, hey, we'll talk at the church. If they can embarrass you and take three or four people out while they're talking in the middle of the church service and trying to hold a conversation, I'm not worried about how big your garden is in the middle of church. I'm not worried about what you found at a garage sale. I'm not worried about your grandkid at this point. Amen. I'm not worried about your phone or whatever you got. Amen. That's not what we're after. We're here because we're conscious of the Almighty God. This is God's time, and I'm coming to give him 100%. God don't want a halfway church. God wants a church that is mindful, that loves him and worshiping him. Come on. Somebody ought to say, amen. God, I want your spirit in my life. Stand with me. God conscience. Conviction. The Lord convicts you of something that you've been doing or saying. I love it when the Lord starts working on us and God says, we're going to have to move this out of your life. Trey, when the Lord convicts Brother Crosswhite of something and God says, you can't be doing that. I don't want to say, but I'm the pastor. I've been pastoring 35 years, God. I've been here 28 and I'm pastoring in West Texas. My daughter's going to be 35. I've been pastoring 35 years. God, I got senior. Not over God. If God wants to work on me and convict me and for me to get rid of something in my life, I want God to have full liberty to do what I need. To do whatever, that I could be free to God's hand and his voice and his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you pray with somebody near you right now? Lord Jesus, help us to be conscious of you. God, help us, Lord Jesus, be mindful of, Lord, of you in our life. God, help us not to get all stifled and, Lord, stale. Lord, God, we get to the place that, Lord, we're so calloused. Lord, we want to be mindful of your blessings and your spirit. God, that we could be used of you. God, let me not get hard-hearted. Let my spirit and attitude, Lord, let it not become stinking. Lord, oh God, wash me, cleanse me, air me out, Lord God. God, if it has to, God, wear me out. God, whatever the correction tool you have to use, Lord, get a hold of me. God, above all else, I must be saved. I must live for you, and I must be for you, Lord. Help my light to shine. Turn your light on, God, that I can see me. And work on me, Jesus. Let me be conscious of you today. I thank you, Jesus. Use me for your glory. I give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. And let's go to heaven. How? Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. We're so glad that you come tonight.